Okay, so we are recording now, and Dave, for starters, please state your name and your title.
My name is Dave Griffith, and I'm the Executive Director for the American Red Cross Harder, Missouri Chapter.
Now, Dave, it was about 1 year ago that you were deployed to the city of New York following Hurricane Sandy. Why don't you just start out by explaining a little bit about why you went out there and what your intent was in going out there?
Well, everybody that is deployed to a national disaster, each one of those have got specific jobs that they're going to do. And I worked with community partnerships, and my background is in government relations and faith-based community. And so when I got to New York, I first went to White Plains, New York, where I went to a staff shelter, and I was in the staff shelter for 2 days. And then I was assigned to the Greater New York chapter, and worked out of Long Island. And in Long Island, I worked in Coney Island, Rockaway Beach, and Far Rockaway. And I worked with the faith-based community. And what my particular job was to try and engage different faith-based groups, the Jewish community, the Sikh community, the Islamic community, and as well as the Christian and Catholic communities, and get them to help us in mission delivery. You know, we reaching out to folks and finding areas that we could use for shelters and use for feeding stations, and just really providing those kind of life-saving needs that those folks in New York needed.
Do you have any idea the numbers of people that you were trying to provide these services to, the shelter and food and such?
Well, in the I'm guessing that it was about 7 months that we were, the total operation lasted about 7 months. Some of it is still going on even today, a year later. But there were about 17.5 million meals and snacks that were served over that period of time, over 7 million relief items that included cold weather items and cleanup supplies. There were nearly 113,000 health services and emotional support contacts for people that were made during there, and we provided over 163,000 overall shelter stays during Sandy. So the impact to those states that were up there, and really you're looking at about 14 states total that were impacted by the hurricane. Of those 14, there were two probably that received the biggest hit, and that would be New Jersey and New York.
And I've never seen a hurricane living in the Midwest my whole life, and I can imagine many of our listeners haven't. Will you just tell me a little bit about the kind of, I guess, destruction that you saw that these things can cause?
Well, this one was really, when they call it a superstorm, and it started off as Hurricane Sandy, and then it changed to being a superstorm simply because not only did we have the surge of water and wind that comes in with a hurricane, but 3 days after that they had a major blizzard. And so just about the time that roadways were starting to open up to where we could get our emergency response vehicles in, the snowstorm hit and knocked us back even further. But a hurricane is a very powerful, very powerful storm. The one thing about a hurricane as opposed to tornadoes, you can actually predict where they're going to hit and what time they're going to hit. With the storms we have here in the Midwest, so often we can't predict when those tornadoes are going to happen. But with a hurricane, and this one was, I believe at the height of it was about 1,200 miles long, and it stretched all the way down towards Bermuda and the Bahamas, up to New York and New Jersey. And just the amount of wind and rain and water that that was present just was overwhelming. When I got to Coney Island, we went down to the beach, and where there had been some beach restaurants and tiki bars and those kind of things along the beach, those were completely destroyed. I mean, it looked like somebody had just taken, like a giant had just stepped on top of those buildings and just smashed them. The amount of sand that was brought from the ocean into Coney Island, it was absolutely amazing. It looked like there were mountains of sand. But one of the things that impressed me probably more than anything else was the number of high rises that there are in New York and New Jersey. In most of those people that live in those, or a lot of those people that live in those, were elderly people. And when the storm came in, it knocked out all the electricity, and so the elevators that were in those buildings were not usable. And so you had elderly people that were living on the 20th and 30th floors of those buildings that we were very concerned about. And AmeriCorps and Vista and a lot of those folks actually carried water up and down the steps, and we hand delivered food to those folks that couldn't get up and down the steps. But the destruction, I think, it's hard to put into words what it looked like. But the mold that was there, that is something that's ongoing. And so when they're talking about mucking out a lot of those buildings, many of those buildings are going to have to be gutted completely because of mold remediation.
And can you tell me, does the Red Cross, or what efforts does the Red Cross still have ongoing in that area?
Well, right now what we are doing, we're still helping, we're helping folks that that are in that rebuilding process. Before we started with Hurricane Sandy or Superstorm Sandy, really what the Red Cross does was we prepare and we respond. And because of what we saw in New York and New Jersey, we really needed to be a part of that recovery effort as well. And so we have, during that period of time, we had right around $308 million that was donated to the Red Cross for Sandy relief. And we're proud to say that as of September the 30th, that about $280 million of that has been used and committed to help those folks to start that rebuilding. We're also very proud of the fact that 91 cents out of every dollar that the Red Cross spends goes directly to humanitarian services. So all that we are given, we're very good stewards over those dollars.
That's fantastic to hear. Is there any plan for either you or anybody else in the Heart of Missouri chapter, right?
Mm-hmm.
To go back to help with these continued efforts, or are you leaving it up to the Red Cross people up there?
Yeah, we've got a real strong Red Cross presence in New York and New Jersey. When we have a disaster like this, we mobilize as many qualified people as we can to get into those areas. Once the biggest impact of the disaster is passed, we turn a lot of that over to that particular chapter in that particular region and division. If there comes a point in time when they need assistance, then they'll reach out through the national network, and we can send folks out there. I don't anticipate sending any more volunteers or any more staff out to New York, but certainly we've got we have trained volunteers that are able to go on a moment's notice.
And will you tell me a little bit about some of the training you and your volunteers went through to be able to just pick up and go to Sandy and be helpful?
Well, like I said, a lot of the work that I've done has been with government relations and with faith-based community. Government relations is simply because I'm a former politician. I was a a city councilman here in Jefferson City. And I guess because I was elected, they felt like I had that skill set. So that was one area that I could have worked in. I'm also a former pastor of a church, and so my relationship with other religious, with other denominations has been something that I've done all my life. And really the training that I've had, that I had up to the point where I left, of knowing what the mission of the Red Cross was and best ways to deliver that, and then really forming good partnerships with other organizations to provide that much needed assistance. All the other volunteers that we have that are non-staff, there is a series of classes that we in training that we go through with each volunteer, and you can become an expert in one of a number of different areas. We've got sheltering, that if you want to learn how to set up a shelter and to run a shelter, there are different areas with inside the shelter that you can work in. We've got people that are the mobile feeding units with our emergency response vehicles that take Cambros out, and Cambros can hold we can actually put 1,300 to 1,500 meals into one of these emergency response vehicles and go out in the field and find people that can't get out and feed them. We've got mental health workers, many people that with Pathways we have here in Central Missouri. Many of their employees have become volunteers with the Red Cross. And if you stop and think about it, it makes a whole lot of sense that when somebody has lost virtually everything that they have, their mental state is not going to be, let's say, at the best. And so if mental health workers have been trained to be able to help those folks deal with their loss and what they can do with next steps to move forward. And then we have chaplains that we have in the Red Cross, and we've also got nurses that we send to those areas. If there are going to be some injuries that are going to be coming from the incident, and those folks that we have a triage set up in a shelter, and those folks that come into that shelter, we treat them accordingly. And if people have lost their medications, or they don't have their prescriptions, then those nurses can help them to replenish those. So there are a number of different areas that we logistics, of getting rooms for people to stay, rental cars for volunteers to get out into the field. And when I got to New York and got to the Greater New York chapter to really start work, I was amazed. It just looked like just a well-oiled machine, that people knew what their job was, and they did that job. And we're talking about some pretty long hours. We started, we had our first staff meeting at 7 o'clock in the morning, and we had our last one at 9 o'clock at night. So it makes for long days.
Wow. Well, Dave, do you have anything you'd like to add?
No, I just I think one of the things that the Red Cross has done just within the last year is we've developed a database called Volunteer Connection. And in Volunteer Connection, our volunteers can go in there, they can update their profile when they've taken additional classes. But what this does for the Red Cross nationally is it allows us to go into that database and to look for the best of the best, for those that have those skill sets that we can bring to a disaster, and those folks can make a significant difference. Before, we had to rely upon a lot of the volunteers that we'd had in previous disasters. But with this new tool that the Red Cross has, we're able to mobilize those folks at the time that we best need them. And I think the last thing I would like to say is I would just like to thank everyone in mid-Missouri that reached out and helped us, that donated money to us, that donated items to us. Those were it just helped in delivering our mission. We couldn't have done it without mid-Missouri, and we had a great response from this area.